248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Matt Piper in Manchester, New Hampshire, where it's decision day statewide.
I'm a Nikki Haley endorser.
I'm hoping for a major win for Donald Trump.
There are 22 delegates at stake for Republicans, but because the state is running its primary ahead of the calendar set by the Democratic National Committee, there likely won't be any Democratic delegates awarded after today's vote. And while Louise is a Biden supporter,
maybe some of his advisors will say, you know, you've done a great job, and I think he has. But he did say at one time that he would be a one-term president when he first started running.
She thinks he should step aside and let other Democrats join the race. I'm Matt Piper in Manchester, New Hampshire. Now with more CBS News, here's Deborah Rodriguez.
President Biden and Vice President Harris will make their first joint campaign appearance of the year today in Virginia. Their focus, abortion rights.
We need the American people to keep making their voices heard. So congressional Republicans finally get the message.
Israel's military is reporting its worst day of losses since the war with Hamas began. CBS's Linda Gradstein says 21 soldiers were killed in central Gaza.
The Israeli army spokesman Daniel Hagari said troops had wired two-story buildings with explosives to blow them up near the Israeli border. As far as we know, an RPG was fired by terrorists at a tank securing the forces, and simultaneously an explosion occurred in the buildings, Hagari said.
The IDF says three soldiers were killed in a separate incident. Investigators say the manhunt for a suspect wanted in the killings of eight people in suburban Chicago is over after a 23-year-old shot himself to death near San Antonio, Texas. Joliet, Illinois Police Chief Bill Evans.
At this time, we do not have any motive. Obviously, this is an ongoing investigation. We're deeply entrenched in this.
He says the suspect knew the victims. The Supreme Court has ruled Border Patrol agents can cut razor wire installed by the state of Texas at the border with Mexico. CBS News legal contributor Jessica Levinson.
It's not the end of the story. This case will still be litigated. This is not a decision on the merits. This is a decision based on an emergency application.
On NBA TV.
Here comes Embiid rolling into the cup.
Philadelphia's Joel Embiid scored a team record 70 points in last night's win over the Spurs. Karl Anthony Towns followed with 62 points, a career and a franchise high in the Timberwolves' loss to the Hornets. It's the fourth time in NBA history two players have scored at least 60 points on the same night. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Hospital Sisters Health System announced Monday that they are closing two hospitals in western Wisconsin, the Sacred Heart Hospital in Eau Claire and St. Joseph's Hospital in Chippewa Falls will both close by the end of April. They say the closures are due to prolonged operational and financial stress placed on the hospitals that began with COVID. Vice President Kamala Harris was in suburban Waukesha County Monday while the legal battle over reproductive rights in Wisconsin wages on.
In a state whose motto is forward, these extremists are trying to take us backward. Well, we're not having that.
State lawmakers took testimony Monday on a bill to put a shorter window on legal abortion to a statewide referendum this spring. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Bucks sweep the Pistons. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks held on to win the second of two games in Detroit with a 122-113 victory over the Pistons. Giannis with a triple-double, scoring 31 points. Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin.
To pull away at the end, and these are tough games to play. you know, back-to-back on someone's own home court. Man, we did what we had to do, and I thought both teams, you know, played great, but I thought we, you know, we showed our character and our resiliency at the end. So it's another really good road win.
Men's college basketball, the Badgers in Minnesota tonight to face the Gophers. Wisconsin dropping two spots to 13th ranked in the nation, despite beating Indiana at home over the weekend. Marquette has moved up three spots to 14, right behind the Badgers. After the Golden Eagles won on the road against St. John, 73-72. They traveled to Chicago to play DePaul on Wednesday. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
It is going to be a cloudy day today. Our high right around 32 this afternoon. The wind east at 5 to 15. Tonight down to 28. Could be some frost or a little bit of light patchy freezing drizzle overnight. Our low 28. Tomorrow cloudy with afternoon showers. 35 with some rain, perhaps mixing with a little snow. Tomorrow night into Thursday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 26.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Locally grown radio, your home for news talk and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Weather-wise at 7:06 on this Tuesday morning, January 23rd, bringing in Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot and telling you that temperatures around Civic Media land are ranging awfully close to that freezing mark 31 here on Lake Wissota. 26 in Hayward. Park Falls is at 25. Wausau 27. Green Bay 30. La Crosse is at 32. Wisconsin Rapids 27. Oshkosh 31. Madison 31. Waukesha 30. Brittany, that seems to be a recipe for doing a little slip slide in some places. What's it looking like out there?
Absolutely. Those are not good temperatures to be hanging out around, and we're just going to stick there for a good chunk of this week, unfortunately. So as we're hovering around the freezing mark, keep in mind that, yes, rain is falling out there, but it's freezing on contact, and it is creating some icy surfaces. There are being reports of slick roads, ice-covered roads, especially in towards Richland Center, Beaver Dam. You're seeing that as well. So this winter weather advisory is in effect until 2 o'clock this afternoon, because this ice is going to continue to lift. They've seen up to a quarter inch of accumulation down into central Illinois, and we're only going to continue to watch the storm lift up to the north. So this is still going to be a slippery ice accumulation kind of danger throughout the afternoon. So what's going to happen is we're going to see it start to cool just a little bit, and it's going to mix in some sleet and snow as well throughout the afternoon. This starts to happen around 10 a.m., and it's going to last until 3 for a good chunk of us. If you're by the lake, the snow and sleet accumulations last until around 5. So the accumulation isn't going to be a big chunk. It's just 1 to 2 inches. But when you have freezing rain, sleet and snow, it's just going to be compacted into ice. Roads are going to be pretty dangerous and slippery out there. So I know they're treating the highways. They're looking okay at the moment, but the ramps, the side roads, the county roads, keep in mind that those are going to be icy.
Yeah, it can really sneak up on you. Again, I mentioned in the last hour as well, that video of that fire truck somewhere in Missouri that was spinning out of control and almost took out part of a house as it was doing so. And again, you know that they weren't expecting, you may be driving just fine one moment, and next thing you know, you're sideways or going backwards.
Yes, and your four-wheel drive is not going to help you in these situations. Nobody has any perks over another vehicle. And if you do hit ice and you start to slide out, don't overcorrect yourself. It's weird to say, but try to take a breath and correct yourself slowly, because yes, that's how you're actually going to get back on track. If you start to freak out and you jerk the wheel or you hit the brakes too, if you slam on the brakes, you're going to lose control. So take a deep breath, take it slow. And that's my best advice for today.
There you go. All right. Appreciate it very much. And look, for folks who don't have to drive, who just look at the numbers. I mean, look, temperatures in the low 30s. That's a pretty nice thing to have. I mean, my driveway, you know, the last of the ice and snow melted away yesterday. That's all fine and good. But again, we could do it without the ice. I'd rather have mild temperatures that way.
Absolutely. And then keep in mind, northern half of the state tomorrow, Eau Claire, Wausau, Fox Valley, it's our turn for the ice next.
All right. Stay updated with Brittany and her forecast throughout the day here across the Civic Media Radio Network. Brittany, thank you.
Thank you. Stay safe.
All right. Have a great day, and you stay safe out there as well. All right, 10 past 7 right now, and up here in this part of the state, in the Chippewa Valley, folks were rocked by news that two of the main hospitals in the Chippewa Valley are just shutting down. They're just flat-out closing. They are owned by a conglomerate called HSHS, which is the Hospital Sisters Health System. And these two Catholic hospitals are Sacred Heart Hospital in Eau Claire and St. Joseph's Hospital, which I can see out my window here in Chippewa Falls, right across a couple of cornfields over here. HSHS, which is based in Springfield, Illinois, I believe, made the announcement on Monday that both the hospitals and Prevea clinics in the Chippewa Valley will be closing somewhere between April and summer. But at that point, those locations, which include Altoona, Menominee, Augusta, Cornell, Rice Lake, Ladysmith, they will all be closed. HSHS says the decision comes after, quote, prolonged operational and financial stress related to lingering impacts of the pandemic, inflation, workforce constraints, local market challenges, and other industry-wide trends, end quote. Now, that's all true, but I would also note that there are other factors at play as well, and I'm going to take great care to note that any comments I make on the healthcare industry in Wisconsin are mine and mine alone, may not necessarily reflect Up North News, Courier Newsroom, Civic Media, or, you know, my wife and the large clinic that she works for in Wisconsin. But as somebody, as a journalist, as an elected official, now in my role as founding editor at Up North News, I've seen plenty of decisions made by various players in the healthcare industry over the years, and this did not happen in a vacuum. There have been decisions made throughout the course of years that set the stage, in this case, for HSHS to not be able to compete with some of the other players in the Chippewa Valley, specifically Mayo Clinic and Marshfield Clinic, both of which have hospitals in Eau Claire as well. It was a two-hospital town for the longest time. Then Marshfield Clinic built a hospital in Eau Claire, so it was a three-hospital town along with many clinics. And HSHS just eventually came out on the losing end of that through a whole host of factors. And I'm thinking back to, again, my earliest days covering healthcare as a reporter and you know, being interested in the political movements around healthcare. And I recall, you know, I'm old enough to remember the days of the Hospital Rate Setting Commission. Hospitals used to be much more tightly regulated, including the decisions on beds, including the decisions on whether you could build a hospital in one area or another. Now, some will say, well, that's just too much government. That's government micromanaging healthcare. I would contend the pendulum has now swung too far the other way. For a hospital to just up and close as part of a corporate decision is probably not the thing that we would most want either. You know, is healthcare a monopoly? Not a monopoly. Is healthcare a utility that should be more tightly regulated? Some would be able to make the case for that, especially those who would like to see single-payer health insurance as, you know, as exists in much of the rest of the developed world. Others think there should still be a role for, you know, some form of capitalism, elective decisions, and things like that. So there is no one right answer to how do you write the rules on the healthcare industry. It just seems to me that when you get to the point that a hospital the size of Sacred Heart in Eau Claire can just up and close because of a company's decision, because of a host of other factors that came up over the years, It just tells me we still have a long way to go in this country to get health care right. And I mean that seriously, to get health care right. We have figures on maternal mortality and so many other benchmarks where we trail other developed countries. We like to think that we're all that in the United States with our health care. We most decidedly are not. We're still the only major developed country where people go bankrupt because they got sick or because they got in an accident or they got laid off and they couldn't afford their health insurance anymore. That's not supposed to be normal, where you go bankrupt through no fault of your own getting cancer or something like that. We still do the charcoal chicken dinners and all of the other pass the hat activities to keep people alive. We have a lot of work to do to get health care right. We talk about it mostly about coverage, say the Affordable Care Act. Can you get health insurance coverage? But plenty are still saying, why are we still talking about health insurance? Why aren't we talking about just covering people when they get sick and covering the things that keep us well? Unfortunately, far too many Americans who appreciate capitalism, who appreciate the free market system, still are driven by profit more than human compassion when it comes to how we care for one another as a healthcare industry. And as folks in the Chippewa Valley are going to find out, this current model comes back to bite you hard at times. Now, there, of course, are still two large, significant hospitals in Eau Claire, but there's now 1,000 people affected by these hospital and clinic closures who are going to be losing their jobs. It's like here in Eau Claire when Uniroyal, the old tire factory, shut down, and that was something like 1,500 jobs. It's a big blow to the local economy, and while it may shake out in the end, you know, a lot of these folks aren't quite likely to find jobs because it's not just Mayo, it's not just Marshfield, it's just about every other part of the healthcare sector is experiencing a labor shortage right now. So some very good people are about to come onto the job market and hopefully find new work not too far from where they are. But the whole notion that we have to shake up the system in this manner tells us that the people who represent us in Washington, Madison, and elsewhere, we still have quite a ways to go to get health care right in the year 2024. It's 7:17 right now. J.R. Ross from WisPolitics is reporting that the state Senate is going to be convening and taking up an assembly bill that would implement what's called an Iowa-style redistricting process in Wisconsin. And I would put heavy emphasis on finger quotes when you say the Iowa style of redistricting. This is, of course, related to the Wisconsin Supreme Court making the decision to throw out the current legislative maps. They're corrupt. They have been for a dozen years now. And finally, some work is being done to make them more fair to Wisconsin voters. Republicans, far too late, I would say a dozen years too late, are now trying to embrace the Iowa-style model of nonpartisan redistricting. But you got to put finger quotes around Iowa-style because the Wisconsin bill that Republicans are pushing, it's not. It's not Iowa-style. There is still ample opportunity for Republicans running the legislature right now to overrule what any kind of nonpartisan activity would create new maps. It's just flat out too little too late. The die's already been cast. New maps are going to be drawn. The question is whether they will be ready for this November. And if so, we'll probably get a much more competitive, much more responsive, slightly more moderate legislature that will do the work that people are looking for in critical areas like healthcare. Back with more in just a bit. Hans Breitenmoser before too long to talk about the 2024 priorities for the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Tuesday morning, when you're here, you're up north, live on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
The D3.
D3 right of the circle. Badgers take the lead.
The throwdown.
Down the lane and sends it in and one.
The thrilling victory.
Badgers win it. Oh,
did they dig in defensively tonight?
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Fakes the three, sidesteps left for three, and the lead. He had it.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Drives the lane, draw and kick, right corner, three. Got it again!
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
As mentioned before, the very first class of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was inducted on this day in history, including that fella who did pretty well for himself. Hey, at 7:20, let's talk a bit about the race for Congress in the 3rd Congressional District out here in western and central Wisconsin. That's the seat held by Republican Derek Van Orden. There were multiple candidates who had jumped into the race fairly early, hoping to be the Democratic nominee that would take on and potentially unseat Derek Van Orden. Now, there have been a couple of noteworthy changes in the race. Tara Johnson, the longtime La Crosse County board member and former board chair, has withdrawn from the race over the past few days, citing family concerns. Meanwhile, State Representative Katrina Shanklin of Stevens Point has picked up a big endorsement in that primary for the 3rd Congressional District, and that would be Congressman Mark Pocan, giving that announcement to Katrina Shanklin, who is a legislative veteran who will talk a lot about the bills that she has passed that have both, you know, Democratic and Republican co-authors, and, you know, just a long list of legislative accomplishments. She is facing Rebecca Cook, a business person from Eau Claire, who actually won more counties than any of the other candidates in the 2022 Democratic primary for the 3rd Congressional District. And then there have been some other candidates who have announced who haven't had nearly the track record that Katrina Shanklin or Rebecca Cook do. But Shanklin picking up the endorsement of Congressman Mark Pocan was a key development that we wanted to pass along to you. You know, as I look through the wires every morning for stories to cover, there were two different examples here that reminded me of kind of a pet peeve of mine in the social media era when it comes to passing along news. So, Greg, if you were looking at, you know, Wisconsin media sites mm-hmm. all over social media, and you heard or you saw on a Wausau TV station website or social media site, you know, these headlines: mail carrier hospitalized after dog attack, and teen going 104 miles an hour crashes, killing himself and three others. You'd be thinking it was a very busy news day in the Wausau area, right?
Absolutely.
And it's not that at all, because the teen going 100 miles an hour, that came from North Carolina, and the mail carrier story getting attacked by dogs came from Georgia. Now, these are compelling stories, compelling headlines. You, of course, want to click on them, especially when they're attached to, say, a Wausau TV station or a Madison newspaper or something like that, but they're simply linking to interesting stories outside of their area. And I now come to expect it, but I'm still annoyed by it, that when, you know, somebody that purports to cover local news puts up these, you know, very sensational stories, you immediately think it's happening in their local area,
yeah.
But it's not, you know, and you can't say, oh, you guys can't cover news from other areas. I just wish it could be made more clear that, no, this is not a Wisconsin story that we're putting up here for you.
I mean, just as simple as just saying national news or other mm-hmm. communities or something.
Well, and I know why, because if you were to change that thing to say mail carrier hospitalized after dog attack, all you'd have to do is put Georgia mail carrier hospitalized after dog attack. But then you're less likely to click on it and read the story. Whereas if it comes off of this, you know, Wausau station, you click on it because you think it might have happened in Wausau.
Or you're some person who lives in the country of Georgia, like, I thought there was mail carrier from my country. So mad.
We don't have mail. We don't have mail carriers here. What?
In Georgia, mail mails you. Ah.
That is not how it works here. Okay. So this is just, again, I'm just venting a little bit about news coverage because in the era of social media, I mean, it's still kind of the Wild West out there. There's still not really rules, you know. No. News stations, newspapers, we haven't figured this out yet because, again, it's all clicked for free. There's no paywalls. I mean, the only paywalls are like, what, the Wall Street Journal, you know, the New York Times, a few other places. The other places, if I see a paywall, I'm just not going through it. You know, I will go look for the story elsewhere because they didn't condition us early enough.
Yeah.
And I remember saying this in the very early days of news on the internet, saying, you know, what was Netflix? Wasn't it like or iTunes, 99 cents a song, right?
Yeah.
When it first started.
Yeah.
I said, make it, you know, 25 cents an article or something like that. And they would say back then, oh, no, that's too small. It's not worth it to, you know, calculate, you know, money prices that small. They weren't small. That would have been so much money that would have been brought in if you'd have conditioned people early on to pay for news. You got to pay for reporters. You got to pay for all the resources. Mm-hmm. But they started by giving it all away. Now, good luck trying to get people to, you know, actually pay for good journalism.
And this concludes another edition of The Pet Peeves That Grinds Pat's Gears.
Grandpa's Grinding Gears.
Grandpa's like Gripey Grind. Nope. I'm not going to say the rest of it. I mean, but you know what, though? I think, you know, the reason why iTunes was successful, you had to have a visionary like Steve Jobs who said, yeah, it's going to be tough. I got to do a lot of work. It's going to cost a lot of money, but it will be something huge. Whereas I think in the newspaper business, you didn't have a lot of, and this is nothing against newspaper businesses, their job is to report the news and get the news out there. You don't have a Steve Jobs type in an office going, I will revolutionize the way people get right. their news.
Well, news people aren't used to thinking about the business side of things.
Yeah.
They're really not. And a lot of times they're very resistant. And I'm sure people did propose it on the business side back in the day. And newsrooms were part of those that resisted, saying, oh, no, we must make our news available. Well, yeah, how are you going to get paid for it otherwise? Yeah. So like I said, there's no easy answer to it. And it's led to this Wild West thing where you really have to watch what you click on. And from time to time, you're going to want to shake your fist going, oh, you got me this time, Wausau TV station that's not covering just Wausau news.
Well, it's also those ads at the very bottom, like, you'll never believe what this celebrity looks like. You're like, I know this isn't real, but I want to click.
But I want to so much. Yes. And, you know, even for a site like ours, for Up North News, we've had this discussion over and over again of creating headlines that attract people, mm-hmm. but don't cross the line into clickbait.
Yes.
And we all know a clickbait headline. And you don't want to be known for that because then that's tabloidy, you know, sensational, whatever you want to call it. So there's a line there someplace whereas, you know, other people, you know, old fogey reporters like me would just put, you know, City Council met last night. Okay. Nobody's going to click on that, you know.
Here's your dang news.
Yeah, here's your dang news. Click here. One more thing about the current media era that we live in, Snapchat filters. I learned yesterday from the 18-month-old granddaughter, Snapchat filters. If you have a filter that, you know, makes your face kind of look cartoonish, that's okay. That's funny. But the Snapchat filter that puts a possum up on your head and sniffs around, not good. Tends to freak out little people who are like, yeah, she was like, why is there a possum up? I would have thought it was the other way around. The possum would have been like really cute, you know, as opposed to the cartoon face. So
I thought that way.
You got to be careful.
I thought that way when I showed Lilo and Stitch to my 3-year-old niece. I'm like, she's going to love this. Then Stitch freaks out and she starts weeping.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I know. It's tough out there. It's tough out there. All these screens to watch and monitor and control.
I know.
All right, when we come back, Hans Breitenmoser will be with us, and we'll talk about Wisconsin Farmers Union priorities heading into 2024. That's coming up and much more ahead on this Tuesday morning on Up North News Radio.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. Primary day is underway in New Hampshire, and with Donald Trump far ahead in the polls, Nikki Haley has her work cut out for her. Political analyst Amy Dacey.
It has to definitely be, you know, in single digits, and I think she has to show that she's also getting more conservative voters along with her.
All six votes in tiny Dixville Notch went to Haley. The IDF says 21 Israeli soldiers have been killed in the military's deadliest day since the war with Hamas began. The BBC's Yolande Nell is in Jerusalem.
The Israeli military says that a missile was fired at a tank close to two buildings in which its forces were operating in central Gaza, close to the Israeli border.
The IDF says three soldiers were killed in a separate incident. A victory for the Biden administration at the southern border. CBS's Camilo Montoya-Galvez.
The Supreme Court is saying that the Biden administration can now remove that razor wire that Texas has put in place.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
The morning show on WFHR. It's topical.
Oh, no! Oh! Oh, we've been whammed!
We apologize to our wonderful...
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Joe Biden will be in Superior on Thursday to talk about the bipartisan infrastructure bill. He's coming on the heels of the announcement that Wisconsin and Minnesota are getting $1 billion to replace the Blatnik Bridge that connects Superior to Duluth. Details on exactly when and where the president will talk have not yet been released. Vice President Kamala Harris came to Big Bend, Wisconsin on Monday to tout reproductive rights. Wisconsin agriculture officials are reminding farmers to apply for crop insurance premium rebates through the end of January. The coverage is only offered on a first-come, first-served basis. There's no limit on acres an applicant can apply for, though farmers who got state or federal cost-sharing to plant cover crops in 2023 are not eligible this year. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
It's January, and it's that time of year when the air is cold and crisp. You go outside and decide you do want to build a snowman. You just love winter. You roll a giant snowball for the base, and you start building. You got some sticks for the arms and a hat for his head. You even have the carrot nose and the big button eyes. The chilly air lets you breathe in deep, and then you see it. A big brown puddle starts forming right under Frosty. Oh, that is so gross. What is that? It's your septic tank, and the air is not fresh anymore. Well, before Old Frosty gets renamed Old Stinky for fouling up the neighborhood, you better call Crockett Septic. From Rome to Rudolph, Junction City, Grand Rapids, and Nakusa, all the way to Point.
It is going to be a cloudy day today. Our high right around 32 this afternoon. The wind east at 5 to 15. Tonight down to 28. Could be some frost or a little bit of light patchy freezing drizzle overnight. Our low 28. Tomorrow cloudy with afternoon showers. 35 with some rain, perhaps mixing with a little snow. Tomorrow night into Thursday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 26.
It's January, and it's that time of year when the air is cold and crisp. You go outside and decide you do want to build a snowman. You just love winter. You roll a giant snowball for the base, and you start building. You got some sticks for the arms and a hat for his head. You even have the carrot nose and the big button eyes. The chilly air lets you breathe in deep, and then you see it. A big brown puddle starts forming right under Frosty. Oh, that is so gross. What is that? It's your septic tank, and the air is not fresh anymore.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
It's January, and it's that time of year when the air is cold and crisp. You go outside and decide you do want to build a snowman. You just love winter. You roll a giant snowball for the base, and you start building. You got some sticks for the arms and a hat for his head. You even have the carrot nose and the big button eyes. The chilly air lets you breathe in deep, and then you see it. A big brown puddle starts forming right under Frosty. Oh, that is so gross. What is that? It's your septic tank, and the air is not fresh anymore. Well, before Old Frosty gets renamed Old Stinky for fouling up the neighborhood, you better call Crockett Septic. From Rome to Rudolph,
Junction City, Grand Rapids, and Nakusa, all the way to Point Clover, Crockett Septic can handle your septic, holding tank, and porta potty needs. Call Crockett Septic today at 715-712-3456. That's 715-712-3456. Crockett Septic, where the trucks smell like sweet cherry pie, because nobody wants to smell the other stuff.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Well, the farmer prayed for a better year, and the crops were good like the Lord did here. But his farm...
Hans Breitenmoser coming up to join us in a minute. First, wanted to tell you about a new podcast from Up North News' parent company, Courier Newsroom. It's called Vibes Only. Hosts Brian Derrick and Glennis Mahar call out a lot of the BS that is skewing how Americans feel about the economy and about democracy itself. I'm sure some future show will talk about how, once again, yesterday, the S&P 500 on Wall Street set another new record as the economy continues its recovery, even though so many other places around the media landscape, for some reason, don't want you to know that. So catch Vibes Only, a new podcast from Courier Newsroom. Also want to tell you that in the Up North News Daily newsletter, we talked to Christina Lori in our last hour. Meanwhile, there's the newsletter that she put out today, which includes how a local dietitian is using Instagram to put to the test some popular health trends. So it's always nice when somebody tries to take on, some kind of a, new trend or talking points and actually test them out right there on video for you on Instagram. So find information about that in our newsletter. Also, she lists five Wisconsin getaways for when you need to unwind, because we always love to talk about the occasional road trip. And an article on how to save money in 2024 under some of the clean energy policies that have been implemented from the Biden administration. For that and more, head up to upnorthnewswi.com and sign up for our daily newsletter. All right, Hans Breitenmoser is with us now, and we have not been able to visit since the holidays. He was getting ready for the Wisconsin Farmers Union Annual Convention. They've since had their annual lobby day at the state capitol as well. So let's talk a bit about, what some of the priorities are coming into the new year. Hans, how are you up there in Lincoln County?
I'm fine, Pat. How are you doing?
Good, good. What's keeping you busy on the farm on this? Well, this week it's a little bit milder, but boy, you had a couple of super cold weeks there. What were you catching up on?
Last week was a challenge. All the systems that we have to keep cows happy and healthy are made for a certain temperature, and when you get 25 below zero, things don't work quite as well. So this week looks like it's going to be a little bit more amenable to getting things done rather than just being in survival mode.
Sounds good. I was looking at recently the final numbers came in on crop production for Wisconsin, and I won't burden people with all of the numbers here, but just to share some of what has been tallied up, that corn for grain production was up 3% this year, and corn yield was 176 bushels an acre. Soybean production was down 10% from last year's harvest. Hay production was down a full 25% from 2022. Potato production was up 12% from 2022. And to me, those numbers, Hans, just illustrate, the volatility that always comes in agriculture at any given level. You don't know when you're planting these things what your yield is going to be like, what the weather is going to be like. When you look back now, before we look ahead to 2024, when you look back at 2023 from a production standpoint in your neck of the woods, how are you going to remember 2023?
I will not remember it fondly. It was way too wet. Then it just didn't rain at all. And then it got wet again. So it was a really weird year. And everybody in ag sees this, this weather And with the climate changing, it makes it more difficult. We're sitting on about half as much haylage as we should be sitting on right now because we just didn't get the rain to sustain grass and clover very well. Our corn crop turned out pretty well, and I think that speaks to, you know, over the years, plant breeding has made these corn plants more resistant to crazier and crazier weather. So that has helped us. Our bean crop was meh.
That's the technical term.
Yeah. Could have been better. Could have been worse. Yeah.
So you got everything in the field, and then, you know, now, as we said previously, I kind of referred to this as the hot stove league for agriculture, talking about the previous year and planning ahead for the next year. So I talked to you last heading into the Farmers Union Convention, and we were talking with one of the folks who was going to be one of the guest speakers. I know we're going back a little ways here, but what were your impressions and memories of this year's Farmers Union get together?
Well, you're testing me a little bit, Pat, because I can't even remember what I had for breakfast. But the convention was good. It's always good for my soul to get around good people who understand the bigger picture and so that we can discuss some of the issues that are facing us and try and figure out how we can move that public policy needle in the direction that we need to on a lot of these issues like healthcare. And of course, we went down to Madison here last week for Lobby Day and discussed some of those priorities as well.
Yeah, we'll get into that. But I will say, yeah, the getting people together, the kindred spirits, I mentioned that the other day about being at the 103rd Education Conference in Milwaukee on Thursday and Friday. And again, being with a whole lot of people who, you know, just want to get ideas from each other, but also just get inspiration and motivation from each other. Yes. And yep. You know, the funny thing is, we always talk about things being, the corporate term is things being in silos. Well, you're quite literally there. You don't see, you know, there's other farms around you, but you're literally just focused on what's going in your silo, what's going on in your barn. And so I can see where this is such a great opportunity to share ideas or impressions.
It really is. And you're right. I mean, we, you know, on a dairy farm, you keep pretty busy. There's plenty of fires to put out. There's plenty of decisions to be made. Just day-to-day things that need to keep going and going because you're dealing with live animals, right? And so it's your responsibility to make sure that they get taken care of and cleaned up after and fed and so forth. So it does keep you, you know, pretty well pinned tight. So it's good to get away. It's always good to get away, but it's also just, like I said before, good for the soul to get around people who are like-minded and, again, understand some of the issues that they're dealing with on their farm and with their family, whether that's, you know, having to do with health care or, you know, some of the other things that we discuss, you know, in terms of markets and so forth.
Well, and, you know, let's jump from there into one of the larger developments deals with Congress and continuing to kick the can down the road to avoid a government shutdown and to pass a new federal budget. And what struck me as so interesting, whether good or bad, I'll leave that for you to say, that they've punted a lot of things from October to December, and then from December into January, then January into March. But there's one thing they didn't do that with, and that was renewing the Farm Bill and all of the many things that make up the Farm Bill, the many programs. That one, they kicked the can on that one a full year, said, we don't even want to deal with this one right now. So on the one hand, you don't have to worry that they're going to mess it up. But on the other hand, they completely lost any you know, window of making improvements in current federal farm legislation. So which was it, Hans? Are you happy they didn't mess with it, or are you unhappy that they didn't make anything better in it?
Remind me why we pay these guys again, Pat.
I don't know. I can't tell you.
You got nothing. Yeah, no, I don't understand it either. They, to the best of my knowledge, they all still collect a paycheck, and ironically, they're getting health insurance as well. So, yeah, one wonders once in a while what the lesser of evils is here as far as the current Farm Bill is the devil, we know, but obviously there's improvements to be made. And as time marches on, we need all sorts of things to be addressed. I mean, you talk about climate resiliency and so forth. I mean, we're on the front line of that. You know, farmers can be both the solution and take some blame. But we need public policy to move us forward. Immigration is another one. Who are working on, you know, who are the people working on these farms? And of course, being in the dairy sector myself, you know, we're interested, at least farmers union members certainly, and some many farmers are interested in having some sort of a supply management system that will take this roller coaster in, out of the equation, and also slow down that trend line that has us having fewer and fewer farms on the landscape and just having larger and larger farms on the landscape. These are issues that crop insurance, you know, so many other things. These are issues that the Farm Bill addresses, and to just have our elected, policymakers do nothing because of the dysfunction is just really troubling. Because life continues to move on here out in rural America.
Yeah, and I don't, you know, pardon the cynicism, but I guess thinking about it more, I guess I would contend it's better / inevitable that they did nothing this year, because as we had said back in January of 2023, you now have split control of Congress, Republicans taking the House by a narrow majority, which means next to nothing is going to get done. And in fact, looking back now, it was the least productive Congress in American history. Quite literally, nothing got done in so many areas. And so the things that needed to get done, dealing with markets and monopoly control and dealing with climate and dealing with immigration and dealing with healthcare, those are such tall orders to begin with. It almost seems right that you just hit the pause button on expectations and say, okay, let's get through the 2024 elections and let's see if maybe once again you can have control across the board by a party that actually wants to get some work done.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. There's some value in just hitting pause. Again, I mean, this is a group of folks that have proven themselves to be sort of incompetent, and their ability to get along and get things done just simply does not exist. So any expectation is too high of an expectation, I think.
I think so, at least for where we stand right now with there. At least there, you know, there were things done that the Biden administration and the USDA, you know, things that were already set in motion. I mean, there didn't appear to be a lack of announcements, say, from, you know, USDA, ag development, economic development, Julie Loss's folks over at the Wisconsin Development Office. So there are still investments being made in the rural economy. So even though you're not getting big picture policy, you're still seeing some incremental investments and improvements over the past year, it seems.
Yeah, yes, I would concede that is correct. But again, so much more could be done if we had a more functional Congress. And, you know, I think, and we've had this conversation before, I think that just goes right back to the two major issues, nonpartisan redistricting and money in politics. And until and unless we get those two things right, it's going to be hard to find, any common ground on a lot of issues, because you've got two parties that are just, just absolutely in the business of being opposed to one another.
So in the legislature then, which is Republican controlled, but with a Democratic governor, what were the impressions of people that you talked to as they stopped in, knocked on the doors and visited, if not with their legislator, then with legislative staff? Was it a welcoming reception? Did people feel like it was a good use of their time?
Well, it's interesting. You know, I always sign up for lobby day, and then about 2 days before going, I'm grumpy about having signed up because I think it's a day shot to hell, and I've got so many things to do, and nobody's, you know, these guys aren't going to be receptive. And then I always leave there thinking, yep, it was the right thing to do. We had some good conversations, and the alternative is not showing up. So the idea that, you know, sometimes it is frustrating when you walk into your representative's office knowing that you're not going to be on the same page on certain things. But if you don't, who's going to fill that vacuum, right? So it's important for us to continue to educate our legislators. And I use the word educate versus lobby because I really feel like it is an educational experience for these folks in terms of, how receptive they were and so forth. Kind of a mixed bag. I find that the staff tends to be fairly pleasant, and they're paid to be pleasant. And some seem genuinely receptive. And some are, you know, seem genuinely interested. But I did talk with one farmer who came out of her legislator's office, and she she was practically in tears. I mean, she had just an awful experience because her legislator was just very unpleasant and straight up rude, and looked down this list of priorities and said, well, these are all things that are supported by Democrats, and that's not even true. But she just refused to listen. So that was unfortunate.
Let's see if we can get that friend of yours to come on 2 weeks from now. I want to hear more about this visit and call out people. Hans Breitenmoser, as always, thank you very, very much. Good to connect with you again, and we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Thank you very much, Pat. Take care.
All right. Chad Holmes is coming up next to preview his show across the Civic Media Radio Network on Bull Falls Radio. That's next.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Start the new year off right with a Dakota Closet System on sale today at Menards. Dakota Closets can be used anywhere throughout your home. Perfect for walk-in or reach-in closets, pantries, laundry rooms, and more. Dakota Closets are available to take home today and install with just a screwdriver, giving you more time to organize, design, and take home your next project using UCreate Closet Planner. Visit your local Menards or design online today.
Save big money at Menards.
Saturdays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
A reminder, as always, you can head over to civicmedia.us for a map of stations around Wisconsin, which ones are the news talk stations, which ones are the music stations, find out what shows air when on various stations across the network. If you're listening to Bull Falls Radio in Wausau, you're going to hear Chad Holmes from 8 to 10 on weekday mornings, and Chad joins us now. How are you doing?
Good morning, Pat. Doing good. How are you?
Well, good, but I'm also the one that, you know, spends most of my day with my butt glued to this chair, whereas you're in school buses and cars traveling to basketball courts and, you know, wrestling tournaments and everything, pep rallies and everything else out there. So you're the one putting on the miles, man.
Yeah. And it's been taking a toll on the voice recently.
Yes, it has. You still sound a little out of it compared to last week here. Are you feeling it, or is it just a vocal thing?
Last week late, it got really bad. And frankly, I had to pull the ripcord on my show Friday because it just was bad.
No.
I feel better, but still fighting it. It's that time of year.
Yeah, well, the voice is can be a fragile thing at times. You know, a lot of singers, when they cancel a concert, they don't just cancel one. You know, they cancel a string of them. But look at you, you're being a trooper. You're hanging in there. You're pushing through, covering all those sports, covering those radio shows. What kinds of topics have you had or have coming up there on your weekday show?
Yesterday we had spent the second hour with John Robinson. I'm sure you know John Robinson.
No, John.
Right?
Yeah. Yes. John's awesome. Yep.
Really good guy. And boy, what an intelligent man. When right now he is serving on the Marathon County Board, and he knows so much. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was wonderful to talk to him about, you know, budget issues and other issues and broadband and everything else. And, you know, he is the kind of public servant that I think every community needs. And he was just fantastic, and it was great to have him back on yesterday and talk about what's going on with the board. Today we will talk to Mayor Katie Rosenberg, as she is in the midst of a re-election campaign. Also, a story came out in the last day concerning Wausau's lead pipe replacement partnership, some questions involved in the company they're partnering with, and gonna kind of delve into that a little bit, among other things. And it shows again, I think, that it's not easy these days. And I talked with John Robinson a bit about this, where everything now is these public-private partnerships.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about it is that I think the public aspect and then the private aspect have a couple of different ultimate goals here. And I think sometimes those...
They work across purposes, yes. Oh, without, this ties in so closely to my rant earlier in the hour about... You know, two major hospitals in the Chippewa Valley just abruptly announcing they're shutting down, Sacred Heart in Eau Claire and St. Joe's here in Chippewa Falls. And again, it's such a different world compared to when it was not nearly as corporate-driven, therefore profit-driven in terms of healthcare. And look, public-private partnerships are supposedly the, you know, the middle ground toward, you know, total government control of everything and leaving everything to the whims of Wall Street. And yeah, in a perfect world, a public-private partnership can be a good thing. But to me, it just seems like there are times when there's something, it's kind of like, you know, Abe Lincoln used to say, you know, there's things that, you know, when people can't do it for themselves, that's when, you know, that's the role that government can play. And I don't think of anything more intimate than healthcare when it comes to that. But the same can be said for, you know, keeping lead out of your water supply.
And it seems as though when we've had some of these public partnerships, public-private partnerships recently here in Wausau, there have been issues. I mean, we talked a lot about the downtown development featuring our good buddy Terrence Wall. I mean, I think there's a... Just again, different priorities with both entities. And sometimes it can make for a very rough go of it to ultimately get these projects done. And I'm curious to hear from the mayor about these latest issues. Big story in the pilot today. And it's rather disconcerting some of the folks that are involved in this. And we'll see what the mayor has to say.
Yeah, it really, again, calls to mind the need to not enter into a partnership with the private sector, if you're on a government board or a government official or some point, without, I mean, really negotiating all of the fine points. I remember here, you know, there's a rail line just past the house here that goes, you know, north from Chippewa Falls, and it wasn't getting much work done. And then it got refurbished about the time all these sand mines were coming in, and these companies were coming in promising the moon and stars if we could dig up your farm for the sand and process it at this sand plant. And I recall as a legislator telling these local governments, saying, hey, they want your sand. So, you know, you're in the driver's seat. Negotiate the best deal you can. And by and large, they often just took whatever money was offered. And now a lot of them are stuck with the rusting hulks of sand plants that are no longer in operation, roads that are getting chewed up, sand mines themselves that, you know, could become environmental problems later on because, again, they didn't negotiate the best possible thing on behalf of their taxpayers, on behalf of the environment. You have to do that. And I know it's not easy. You're getting all this pressure. You know, don't lose this opportunity for jobs and money. But you have to think long term if you're in this kind of a position of public trust, it seems to me.
And sometimes it can be difficult having choices. And this story involving the lead pipes, they only got one bid. And that makes it difficult as well. Again, I think there's just a lot of bridges that have to be crossed involving these kind of massive and important projects. And again, it comes back. And again, I just found it interesting. I was, you know, talking to John Robinson about this a little bit, about these public-private partnerships. And that's basically, in a lot of senses, the only way that things are able to get done these days.
Mm-hmm. Which, again, I understand it, but boy, there's a lot of, you got to really be cautious heading into it, as frustrating as that is. Chad's going to continue following this story and more from the Wausau area. Catch him on Bull Falls Radio weekdays from 8 to 10. Hey, have a good day. Rest up the voice when you can for those, you know, 10 minutes that you're not doing a talk show or a basketball game. And we'll talk to you and hear you again real soon.
Thank you, Pat.
All right. Thank you, sir. Mr. Bach, thank you. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on Matt and Air on Air at 10 o'clock.
Yes,
indeed.
Something
like that.
Yeah,
okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
I pay attention to these schedule things. You know, it says right here, Chet Holmes is next in Wausau, Stephanie Miller in Madison, James and the Gang in Wisconsin Rapids, all followed by Matt Nair on air, and then Todd Alba at noon. Have a great Tuesday. We'll see you back here live from Lake Wasoda Wednesday morning, 6 a.m.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Matt LePay for Steinhoffels. Since 1934, Steinhoffels has been Wisconsin's furniture and mattress destination for quality, selection, and service. Steinhoffels is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. This weekend, visit any Wisconsin Steinhoffels store, spend $2,999 or more, and get a $100 gift card to the University Bookstore to get the latest Badgers gear and apparel. Relax, it's Steinhoffels.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
CBS News Brief. It's primary day.